Good morning. If everyone would take their seats, we'll get underway. Rosa, please call the roll for the Justice Appropriations Subcommittee.
Chair Brannon.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Ranking Member Valdez.
Good morning. Present.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Bracy Davis.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Duggan. Excuse. Fabricio. Excuse. Gottlieb. Jacques.
Here.
Redondo. Saroy. Excuse. Snyder.
Here.
Stark.
Here.
Waldron.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. A quorum being present. Welcome, everyone, to the Justice Appropriations Subcommittee this morning. Reminder, ensure that your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or placed on silent mode. Ask that anyone wishing to speak for the committee, please fill out an appearance card and provide it to the staff, and they'll get it to us. Good morning. Once again, we'll take up four bills, and we'll get right into it and take up the first bill, which is House Bill 1449, Reclassification of Criminal Penalties by Representative Michael. Welcome. Good morning, and you are recognized.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and Committee Members. 1449 requires reclassification of any felony committed by a person who unlawfully enters the United States after having been deported or otherwise removed from the United States under federal immigration proceedings for committing a felony, or departs the United States while such an order of deportation or removal was outstanding. It requires reclassification of any felony or misdemeanor or any delinquent act or violation of law, which would be a felony or misdemeanor if committed by an adult. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Michael. I see no amendments. Members, do we have any questions for the representative on House Bill 1449? Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and good morning to all. Good morning, Representative Michael. On line 29 of your bill, the term, does the definition of the term removal mean that a person can stipulate to remove, be to a removal both in federal and state courts?
You're recognized.
Actually, I've taken a look at that to clarify that, and there should be an amendment that I'm working on that will be, I'm hoping to have it done by the next committee stop.
Okay. Follow up, sir.
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So would you say, is this bill redundant if Florida already has a repeat offender law that includes longer prison sentences for people that are creating repeat felonies?
You're recognized.
I'm not sure of the Florida reoffender law, I think that you spoke about.
Repeat offender.
Repeat offender. I'm not aware of that law. What my amendment intends to do is bring clarification to say that, specifically say, or give definition that someone who is in the United States unlawfully, so that it covers an entire range. And to bring it more specifically, so I'm not sure about the reoffender law and if that would pertain to this.
Follow up, sir.
One more.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So do you have an approximate estimate for how much this will cost the state if you expect more people to be incarcerated for more time?
We don't have an estimation. I'm sorry, Chair.
I don't know how you answer that question, but you're recognized to give it a shot.
I don't have an estimation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. Representative Beltran, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I just have two questions for you. The first is, isn't it a fact that the United States Department of Justice requires illegal aliens to waive deportation as part of a plea agreement, which resolves over 90% of all criminal cases? Isn't that true?
Recognized.
That is correct.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chairman. Second thing, isn't it true that the structure of your bill, in effect, largely mirrors the United States sentencing guideline enhancements for illegal entrance and reentrance after deportation that have been promulgated by the United States Sentencing Commission?
Recognized once again.
That is correct.
Thank you. Representative Campbell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To that point that Representative Beltran stated, if it reflects the United States, what's the need for it? Why do we need to put in a bill in our state to have this come through?
Recognize.
It's simply so that in Florida, we're bringing definition so that the defense attorney and the prosecutors have a specific defining term to know who these enhancements will be utilized to or can be utilized to so that there's no confusion.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there current confusion with our United States law and us abiding by that?
Recognize.
I wouldn't say that there's necessary confusion, but the way that this is written currently, as a state, we are somewhat, we don't have so much wiggle room, or we don't have so much of a large of a standing as the federal courts do. We're trying to handle something at the state level as much as we can that should be handled at the federal level.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the fiscal impact that we would see regarding that, is there currently being studies done to find out what that impact may be, or is it that we just haven't done anything and we don't have anything as of yet?
Recognize.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, if you remember last year when I brought the illegal immigration bill, which was a huge bill, one of the things that was part of that bill is that we are trying to track how much of an impact financially dealing with illegal immigration and those who are crossing the border has on every sector of our society, not only schools or jails, just about every area. We won't know that yet. The law went into effect last year. So I anticipate and I am watching to see what that answer is.
Anyone else in questions? Anyone else in questions for Representative Mike Rips? Bill Trent.
Thank you, Chairman. So isn't it true when we have federal law that governs federal offenses that are sentenced in federal court by federal judges, and that this legislature is responsible for passing state law to be prosecuted by state prosecutors in state court and for folks who are then going to be put in state prisons, and so we need to have our set of laws just like the federal government has theirs?
You recognize.
That is true.
Anyone else? Seeing no questions, we'll now move to public testimony. I have two appearance cards. RLI Colon, probably messed that up, SPLC Action Fund, Ways in Opposition. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, Waves in Support. No other public testimony. We are now in debate. Members, now in debate. Ranking Member Valdez, you are recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Representative Michael, I can't support this bill today. You know, it's a shame when we're talking about using schools and prison in the same sentence. That correlation is very near and dear to my heart as a previous school board member. And I got to tell you that we're creating such a strain in the system. This is going to definitely increase the population in our jails. And it's evident with what happened this past Friday or Thursday in Hamilton County Correctional Institution, where there was a, for lack of a better word, a bitch slapping game going on between
Chair Valdez, what's that got to do with this?
Well, I think we're not off on a tangent.
I think so. I'm going to overrule you. So get back on the bill.
So the bill, this is going to bring more strain into our system. We don't know what the indeterminate amount of money it's going to cost. We're struggling to find ways of being able to pay for, give our officers raises and being able to have them not have to find different kinds of ways in order to make money. So for this, I'm down on this bill, and I just can't support this. Thank you.
Senator Beltran, in debate.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess I'll start out by saying that we've talked about this before. I guess we're going to talk about it again, or at least I'm going to talk about it again today, that Florida law is relatively lenient compared to federal law. And it creates a problem. We touched on it a few weeks ago in the context of juvenile justice in particular. It creates a system of disrespect for the law and the lack of uniformity. And Rabbi, thank you for identifying this issue. I know you, from seeing your legislation during the time we served together, you're passionate on these public safety issues, as are several of my other colleagues in the House. And several of them are in the room today. But you've identified an issue where in federal court, under federal law and federal sentencing guidelines, you get all kinds of enhancements if you commit a crime after illegally entering the United States, particularly if you've reentered after deportation. That's a federal felony, by the way. If you've reentered after deportation, you've probably been prosecuted for something. You're probably on some sort of sentence in inactive probation, for example. And so now you've committed a crime on inactive probation. The effect, the cumulative effect of all those enhancements is you're going to increase your sentence by 60 to 100%. That's what you're looking at in federal court. Here, you've come up with a framework for similarly enhancing the sentences of state law offenders, and that's appropriate. That's appropriate if the federal law may be too draconian. I'm not a congressman. No one's elected me to legislate on federal law. The federal law may be draconian. The Florida laws may be too lenient. Should they meet in the middle somewhere? Maybe that's a broader conversation for another day. But certainly, you shouldn't be able to commit crimes with impunity in Florida relative to the federal laws that we have out there. And certainly, we have to decide that the federal law says that you have to have a sentence sufficient but not greater than necessary to achieve the objectives of criminal justice, which are many, not just one thing or another, to single out one of those objectives like deterrence or retribution, rehabilitation, so forth. And I submit that if we are not punishing crimes adequately, we're not achieving those objectives. And it is a balancing test, and we don't want to increase the prison population needlessly to that. But I think in this particular case, it is appropriate. Look at federal law. I mean, we have all these enhancements. We still have folks crossing the border. We still have, we have fentanyl. We have human trafficking. We have all manner of street crime. And I want to be very clear that I think the rhetoric, it's important what we say and how we say it. Particularly, I think my party has perhaps made some errors in the past and we have articulated. I'm not saying folks from other countries are bad people. I'm not saying even if you cross the border that you're a person with a bad heart. I mean, you're violating the law, but I understand why someone would do that, particularly given the incentives we create, right? I mean, we create an incentive structure. We're not going to capture you at the border. If you get in, you're going to be on some kind of asylum, or you're going to be, you know, have some 2 or 3 year release for your deportation. We're not creating a system of incentives. Your bill is bringing us closer to creating a system of incentives where there's not as much of an incentive.
Representative Beldren, I'm going to ask you to bring it in for a landing.
Thank you. I'll do that, Chairman. Thank you. This brings us back into line. But we're not saying folks are bad people. We're saying if you commit a crime, then you're a bad person and you need to be punished accordingly. Thank you.
Representative Bracey Davis. Okay. Representative Jocks, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Michael, for bringing forth this common sense law and order bill that cracks down on criminal illegal aliens. And it's very important for the committee members here to understand who we're talking about here. These are people who their first interaction with our country is breaking our laws by entering unlawfully. And then once they're here unlawfully, they go ahead and commit a felony to the point where they have to be deported from our country and then make their way right back across these open Biden borders only to commit more crimes. And certainly, yes, there should be enhancements for these type of individuals. And I heard the ranking member said that this would maybe add additional strain and so forth. It may have the opposite impact because we're removing an incentive for you as a criminal illegal alien to come back into our state. You might want to look elsewhere because you're going to be dealt harshly here in the state of Florida, and you're going to commit crimes other places, not here in the free state of Florida. And if you do somehow come back here, you should and will be dealt with harshly. Thank you, Representative.
Representative Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I tend to disagree with this bill. You know, one, we talk about rhetoric and we talk about how we're messaging about this. We're calling people illegal aliens. So we're not even classifying them as people. We're identifying them as some other characteristic. You know, many of us have descendants that have came over from different parts of the countries to this great land and trying to start a life. And we wouldn't be here without them. I have to disagree with my colleague about how we are seeing these individuals, how we are enforcing this. I think this is a bill that is setting up to trip up individuals through a system that's already complicated as it is. And so now we're taking, as a state, looking at trying to implement what our federal is supposed to be implementing and is implementing. And I think here, you know, it's just unnecessary, and this is something I just can't see myself even coming close to even supporting. And so I'm a down on this bill.
Representative Bracey David.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And I'll be brief. I agree with my colleague, Rep. Campbell. I think that as it relates to preemptions, we should let the cities and the counties do what they're supposed to do. The state government should be doing what they're supposed to do, and the federal government should be doing what they're supposed to do. And I don't think that we need to overwhelmingly bleed into those other areas. And I don't believe in preemptions from a city and county perspective, nor do I believe that from a state or federal government perspective. I think the state of Florida, we should be focusing on the issues of the state of Florida and our constituents, like property taxes and the affordability crisis. So, unfortunately, thank you for this bill, but I'll be voting down.
Representative Gottlieb.
Thank you, sir. So I'm down on the bill. I practice criminal defense in both federal and state courts, and I've come across policies all the time where, you know, sometimes if there's a harsh punishment in the state court, the federal jurisdiction will exercise the Pettit policy and choose not to prosecute somebody. And I think we're kind of overstepping our bounds here as it relates to federal criminal jurisprudence. And even if you look at the staff analysis, it starts with the United States Customs and Border Protection, CBP, is the federal law enforcement agency responsible for securing the nation's borders and facilitating international travel and trade. And most of the analysis that we have from the staff is related to federal jurisprudence. And as my colleagues have said, you know, we often here look at the sovereigns that are within the state of Florida, the municipal governments, and we preempt them. And I think that we should learn a lesson from our own behavior and allow the federal government to deal with the immigration crisis and problem that we have as a nation and spend our money better in the state of Florida. It's not a bill that I support. I don't support creating this new crime when the federal government, and I've seen people, and they get 2-year minimum mandatory punishments for illegal reentry, and it's a significant and a harsh punishment, and they get prosecuted for other crimes that they commit as well. So I think it's unnecessary. I understand the rationale behind it, but I disagree with it and cannot support this bill today.
All right, that completes debate. Representative Michael, you're recognized to close on House Bill 1449.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. And I listened to everything that was said. I want to touch on a couple of things that were said, and then I will close very quickly. The term illegal alien is a term that is used by the U.S. Supreme Court. It has been used for decades when we're dealing with people who are foreign nationals who are in this country illegally. They argue cases with that term. It's not derogatory in any way. It is the appropriate term that we just don't hear because we keep changing it from illegal immigrant to migrant to whatever we want to call it. So I want to stipulate that. And I want to say also that I touched bases with a state attorney last night and to hear that he has a case in St. Johns County where someone has been deported several times came back into the U.S. He also has another case. There's a case in Volusia County. Someone from another country, I won't say the country because then they'll say I'm picking on them, killed two people, overstayed his visa, and that family has to deal with that. So in closing, we are talking about people who have come here illegally, and they have committed a felony. We are a law and order state country, and if the federal government fails to do their job, which they have, in this situation, we will do it for them. I will stay on this, I will keep my pulse on this, and you will hear from me again, and I thank you for your time.
Representative Michael, having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
No.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
No.
Campbell?
No.
Duggan? Fabricio? Gottlieb?
No.
Jacques?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Saroy? Snyder?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Eight yeas, four nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Show the bill reported favorably. Next up is House Bill 1443, Electronic Access to Official Records by Representative Persons Malika. Welcome, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members. It's a pleasure to be in front of you to present House Bill 1443 for your consideration. Back in 2021, we passed a fantastic piece of bipartisan legislation known as Serena's Law. And Serena's Law required that the fact that a final judgment for an injunction for the protection of a minor be accessible on a clerk's website, as well as the name of a respondent against whom the final judgment was entered. This year, we're coming back just to ensure that how you access that information, that it's clearly available to the public, and located in a clear and conspicuous location on the homepage of the clerk's website. The bill will likely have no impact on clerks that already have a searchable database, but if there's any fiscal impact, it will be insignificant. And the intent of the bill is not for clerks to create new databases, but if you have one, just show the public how to access that database in a clear and conspicuous location on the homepage. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative, for the explanation. I see no amendments. Members, we are in questions. Any questions? Questions? See none. Public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we are now in debate. Any debate on House Bill 1443? Great. Seeing no debate. Went so fast, I got ahead of myself. We're recognized. You're recognized to close.
A wave close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Duggan? Fabricio? Gottlieb?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Saroy? Snyder?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
12 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next up is House Bill 1077, Clerks of Court by Representative Botana. Good morning, and you are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee, for getting this bill up. This bill builds upon and fixes glitches to HB 977, which was signed by the governor after the 23 session. This bill includes redirects from general revenue of existing fees, fairly compensate to the clerks, and costs have risen. The budgets have not over the years. Additionally, the bill would create a pilot program in Miami-Dade County, alleviate the tax burden of the tax collector. That is the bill, and there's amendment, sir.
Thank you, for the explanation. I see the amendment, barcode 627025, and Representative Botana, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment removes several sections of the bill to reduce the fiscal impact relating to redirected funds from the general revenue, which was at $37 million. Now it brings it down to $8 million. That's what we talked about last year in the bill. I know I've had a lot of phone calls from you this morning, and we're still working on it. We'll get there. Makes minor technical adjustments to correct the stationary cross-reference in Miami-Dade County also.
Thank you, sir. Members, do we have any questions on the amendment? Representative Stark, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I just want to clarify as it relates to the technology version of the bill previously. What is the game plan for that particular piece?
Recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Representative Stark, good question. I believe this will re-reference the bill to a different committee, so we will be at the next stop and we can put that technology piece back in there.
Thank you.
Representative Campbell, you recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why the decrease from $36 million to $8
million? Recognize?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the good question. As we said, it fixes a glitch from last year of HB 977. We told the clerks that we would get them $8.7 million. It came back this year. There was an ask of 37. So we're bringing it back down to that 8. So we're going to see if we can put some other stuff back in there to help them out. And that's why the amendment comes there, sir. We're fiscally conservative sometimes.
Got a follow-up?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is that enough to I guess, when we talk about inflation, I know they were asking for $8.7 million last year, and we were able to get it, but we added in that inflation cost. Is that even enough to help assist them for the needs that needs to be assisted for what the bill is intended to do?
Recognize.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the good question. What we're doing now is we're fixing, because they didn't get the 8.7 last year, because that was our fault, my fault. The bill wasn't right. The staff messed up. So we're fixing that to get them their $8 million. And again, we're having another stop. We're going to see what we can put back in there. And I always love working with the clerks. Obviously, you guys all know. You hear that. But we're going to still work in progress. Sometimes we got ahead of our skis a little bit. We just have to adjust it and come back it in, bring it back in a little bit.
Any other questions on the amendment? Okay, we now move into public testimony on the amendment. I show one appearance card. Honorable Laura Roth, Volusia County Clerk of Court and Comptroller, wishes to appear. Welcome. You are recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Brannon, Vice Chair Smith, and Ranking Member Valdez. I am Laura Roth. I'm the Volusia County Clerk of Court, home to the Daytona 500. And I wanted to speak for information purposes on the amendment before you today. First and foremost, on behalf of Florida's Clerks of Court, I want to sincerely thank Representative Botana again for carrying the Clerk's priority funding bill this session and for working with us to address our significant budget challenges and our current unsustainable funding situation. The underlying bill goes a long way to support our office's staffing needs by diversifying clerk revenue sources, which would allow us to account for some of those statutorily required services that we currently provide without an associated funding source, which are many, including assisting domestic violence victims. However, clerks of court are seriously concerned with the amendment before you today as it stands, and hope that we will have the opportunity, as Representative Botana has mentioned, to work through this further in a next committee and work with you all toward helping clerks during this year's session. I know that many of you have spoken directly with your local clerk of court and are familiar with the clerk's legislative priorities this session, which do work to build on the bill that you all passed last year and that Representative Botana sponsored. Now, I don't know if everyone's aware of this, but despite your best efforts and your best intentions last year to address clerks' budget challenges, for which we and our staff and our agency partners were very grateful, unfortunately, due to several factors, including increases to FRS costs, and after passage of the bill last year, there was an unexpected downward projection of revenue available to fund clerks' court-related budgets over the next fiscal year. So unfortunately, those factors together caused that most of the goals of last year's bill to enhance clerk funding did not come to pass. Indeed, insufficient funding is still impacting clerks' ability to provide critical services to our court partners and constituents. And with personnel and staffing costs continuing to increase, we still face the same challenges that negatively impact our services. With clerk budgets still very close to where they were a decade ago, clerks can't keep up with wage growth, we struggle to retain trained staff, and our staff members are required to be highly trained, and we are often forced to cut positions. As a result, like other clerk's offices throughout the state, in Volusia, in my county, I've collapsed numerous corp divisions, and I've had to combine staff from unrelated court areas just to navigate the declining budgets. Our judicial partners, having themselves achieved increases to their budgets over the years, have the resources to bring in additional resources to handle backlog caseloads, and sometimes I'm unable to assist due to lack of available trained staff. Our justice partners and fellow constitutional officers are often able to pay better wages than clerk's offices, so we consistently lose highly trained staff to other agencies. I've reduced employees at all levels, more than 100 positions since 2008, to sustain the rising wages of a remaining staff with a stagnant or declining budget over the years. I am missing several key leadership positions in order to reduce costs. Instead of pursuing new innovations in my office, improving technology, and finding better ways to serve the public, I often spend my days acting as the human resource department. Myself, I have management-level employees that are providing frontline counter service and attending court just to fill the gap. This continual reduction has occurred over many years, and we have come to the point where the daily fear is that there is nowhere left to cut. Again, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today, and thank you, Representative Botana, for your continued support of Florida's clerks of court. We desperately need your help to serve our shared constituents, and we are hopeful for continued work this session on this important issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing other public testimony, we are now on debate. Now on debate on the amendment, Representative Snyder. Representative Beltran on the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Rep. Botana, for your conversation yesterday and today. I don't know. I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't speak up on this. I heard from my clerk last night, and also heard from the clerk who just spoke. And I want to preface this by saying I know you've been working on to help the clerks for many years. I think your intentions are good. I think you're been trying to be a diligent legislator, and I don't frankly think this is something that's your fault. But part of it's the process, and part of it's what's happening here today. I mean, this is a glitch bill. That's what you told me. I think you said that yourself at the podium. And then I guess I'm hearing that there's a glitch in the glitch bill. And again, I don't think it's the member's fault or the bill sponsor's fault. Then we get an amendment less than 15 hours before the committee hearing. And, yeah, I got strong feelings about a lot of things that come through this committee. To be honest, clerks is not something that, is something I particularly know about. So I'm relying on the members and the stakeholders to inform me. And the members and stakeholders really can't inform me that well in 15 hours when I'm probably trying to get sleep for at least six or seven of them. Nobody's available, after hours. And if there was a clerk from Monroe County, I don't know how they'd come up here physically, how they'd come up here and let us know there was a problem. Luckily, there was a clerk, and I appreciate your commentary. And it's week six, and now we're amending a bill. I'm hearing about a re-reference. Then I'm hearing things are going to be put back in the bill. And now I'm asked to render judgment on something. I don't know what's going to be in the bill. Like, that was a long time ago, there was a politician who said that you have to vote for it so we can find out what's in it. And Rep, and not somebody who I hold in the same high esteem as I hold you, Rep Botana. So I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. That's the position that we're in today, this morning, in the Justice Appropriations Subcommittee. It's not the first time I've been in this position as a legislator. But my clerk calls and tells me there's a problem with the amendment. I don't know what I'm supposed to do on the bill. I'm going to be down on the amendment. I mean, I think you're going to move the bill. I think you're going to do the right thing in the next committee, but I just don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen. And we hadn't had time to digest this. I know it's week six. You're trying to keep your bill alive. But I'll definitely down on the amendment, and I'm gonna have 5 minutes to decide what I do on the bill. And again, this is no criticism of the member. I know he's trying to do the right thing, but it's a symptom of our process. And I'll just leave it there. But I hate to even say this, but that wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't speak up. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beltran. However, I have to say that I think you filed some amendments within 15 hours yourself. Representative Bryce Dave, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Rep, first let me say thank you for since I've been here, carrying the water on behalf of the clerks. I learned of you before I ever met you from my clerk. Before the moment I got elected, they talked to me about the work that you're trying to do on their behalf. So I too need to say thank you for doing that, because I'm hearing of all of the concerns and issues as it relates to the clerk. I'm also grateful for Madam Clerk from, I believe, Volusia County that spoke today. But I am concerned. I actually agree with Rep. Beltran. I am concerned about this amendment. When we're talking about we're going from 37 million to 8 million, that's a big change. That's a drastic amendment. And I get you saying that we need to be, or the thought is to be fiscally conservative. But when I hear, when Madam Clerk just addressed us and talked about how this is going to affect some domestic violence victims and some poor people, and there's going to be some access to court issues, that concerns me, and it should concern all of us as legislators. So also hearing, you know, that there hasn't been huge changes in a decade in terms of their money, that we should all be bothered by that. So I wish that we could somehow go back to the original bill at its next stop and the original ask. And I'm going to have to be down on this bill because I believe this shortchanges the clerks, and I believe the people that need access to courts the most are going to be hurt by not having these funds with the clerk. So I'm down on this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, first I want to appreciate your hard work on this bill. I saw this bill early on in civil justice, and I was a unanimous vote up. This amendment, however, I just cannot support, and I don't want to repeat some of the things that my colleagues have already said on this body. But I'm just concerned about the fiscal change that we're seeing and how that is really going to impact the clerks who are already struggling as it is and who needs or seeing the impacts of the inflation that is occurring. And so just to keep it short, because it has already been said, I'm going to be down on this amendment. I'm still trying to figure out where I should be at regarding the bill as amended. And so we'll go play it by ear and see how it goes.
Thank you, Chair. And just very briefly, and I'm motivated to speak only from Rep. Beltran, having also talked to my clerk. I'm up on the bill, and I'll be up on the amendment only for the sheer fact that I know this is a grease pig piece of legislation that you've got, and it keeps, we're glitching to the glitch to the amendment to the glitch, and you're working it, and you're there's nobody works a bill harder than you, and so I'm going to support it today. But I'll tell you, clerks of the court in Florida have become over time corrections officers of a couple of years ago, where we neglected them for years and then wonder why we can't fill positions, why they struggle with, it's a problem. And we're well through cutting the fat. We're into muscle and now down to bone in the clerks of the courts throughout Florida. And Seminole County suffers from this. And I've got to listen to my clerk, who I Grant Malloy, who I have utmost respect for, when he's banging the table, sounding the alarm, I have to listen also. But I'll be up on your bill. But I really, truly hope you can straighten this out to the next committee and before we get it to the floor. And I'd be happy to help in any way that I can.
Thank you, sir. Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think, like what's already been said, I was not originally planning on speaking on the bill today, but then I got to thinking this might be our last committee. I don't know that, and it's not often I get a chance to address you, Representative Botana, and just start by again saying I remember from the day we got here 4 years ago, you made the decision to become a champion for the clerks of court, and you know, I know we talked a little bit about, you know, we've talked some about the policy, some about the process, and you know, my wife actually spent a number of years working in our clerk of the court in the jury division. And I do think with the number and the volume of requests that come through such an important appropriations subcommittee as this, we are charged with setting the budget for our public safety. And I think it is important to remember, you know, for all of us on the committee, in my opinion, the clerks of the court are the cylinders that make the wheels of justice turn. And it does concern me that, you know, as a constitutional office, they not get left behind. But as we go back to the process side of it, yes, it's not a perfect process. We know we are in budget season. I myself am going to another committee. I've got to remove some language because we are in the conforming bill dance right now. But that's where my confidence comes back to, again, the bill sponsor. And I trust wholeheartedly as we continue to move through this, you will get this right. And I think as members, it's our responsibility. We know the dance we're in. We need to get this amendment passed today so we can keep this bill moving to the big appropriations committee. And it's our responsibility on us as members to continue to support Representative Botana, keep the pressure on so we get this right. I know it's not an easy job, but I'm glad you're doing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Snyder. Rep. Stark, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There isn't really much more that we can say other than, you know, just praise you beyond measure. So I'm voting up on the amendment. I'm concerned about the amendment like everyone else, but what I know is you're a fighter, and I know that you have all the best intentions to get this across the table for the clerk's office. And so for that, I'm up on both the amendment and the bill. So I thank you for your hard work.
Thank you, Rep. Stark. Members, just remember, this is a step in the right direction. This bill does have another stop. So that will end debate. All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. All opposed say nay. No. Amendment passes. We're now back on the bill as amended. Members, do we have any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none. I don't think we have any public testimony. We're in debate on the bill as amended. Representative Gottlieb, recognized in debate on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Botana, you know, I know you said that this was your fault, you know, I don't think it is. I think one of the problems, although I'd like to say that it is. I think one of the problems that we have as legislators, and my greatest fear always in passing any legislation, is an unintended consequence or a collateral consequence. So I appreciate what you're doing, you know, to try to fix that. And I know it's not landing necessarily right now in the space that you want it to land in. I think that we have an underfunded court system, and that we need to do more to pump more money into the court system so that more and more people can have greater access to the greatest judicial system that there is. So I applaud you in your efforts. I can't support it today only because I want to send that message that I don't think it goes far enough. But lucky for you, I'm in appropriations and hope to be able to support it there as it gets amended through the process.
Representative Beltran, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chairman. And obviously, I'm not going to duplicate my previous remarks or the remarks of my colleagues. I'm going to be down on this bill. It's not because I don't share my colleagues' confidence in you. I think you probably will get it right. I've seen this movie before, and I think on the floor I'll be proud. You'll have something I'll be proud to vote for. And it's not about the member. It's not even necessarily about the bill. It's more about the process. I have confidence in you, Rep. But you know, all this week six re-reference, putting things back in, taking them out. If we had longer notice periods, I'd file my amendments, you know, earlier. Obviously, that's, you know, those are the rules. We've voted on those. That's another thing for another committee and another day. But I don't think we should be legislating like this. So that's where I'm at. I'm sorry, but that's where I'm at.
All right, we're through with the debate. Representative Botana, somebody else? Representative Campbell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, in thinking of hindsight of how to move forward to it, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because at one end, you know, I disagree with the amount of money that we're dropping it to, but on the other end, I understand that this is money that clerks need and something, while something is being given, you know, I have true faith that you're going to continue to fight to ensure that they get that increase back into what is being funded. And so I'm going to be up on the bill just because I still think giving them something to contend with helps, but still continuing to fight to make sure that there is more in the pot for them so that they can actually do their job and not having one individual do all the work would definitely be something that I'm looking forward to watch you do.
Thank you, sir. Ranking Member Valdez in debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Rep. Batana. You know, I know that the clerk's budgets are just broken. I mean, it's been a long time. We've heard how we haven't kicked the can, right? So what I'm really most concerned about is that this will really affect the most vulnerable, the economically challenged, and being able to have access to the courts. So the fees and fines that are collected, they don't even cover the costs, as you know, for what the jobs that they're doing. So it's only bringing more hardships to the courts, to the clerks, and it only handicaps them even more so. So I wish we could have fixed that problem here today so that then I felt more comfortable. I requested a co-sponsor of your bill because I thought it was really a great opportunity to bring parity and equity amongst the constitutional officers and their prospective roles. I'm going to be down on the bill today, although I'm co-sponsor for it, to give the process a chance. And hopefully on the floor when we get there, it'll be fixed so that then we can bring, again, some equity and parity to the clerk's office. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Okay. Forever hold your peace. I don't see anybody else. Representative Batana, you are recognized to close on House Bill 1077.
Thank you, Chair. Members, we're going to keep working on this with the clerks. Remember, 8 is better than 0. So if you vote that down, they get nothing. So just putting it out there, we're gonna go from there. We'll build it up, and we'll work on it next committee. With that, I close.
Having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll for the vote on HB 1077.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
No.
Representatives Beltran?
No.
Bracey Davis?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Duggan? Fabricio? Gottlieb?
No.
Jacques?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Roy, Snyder?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Nine yeas, 3 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
Hi, clerks. I see a couple of 3 more out there. Welcome this morning, my friends. I will say, before I move on, and I guess I'll take my prerogative as chairman, that this fee system was asked for by the clerks, and it might be afraid what you asked for. And I know some of the clerks probably would like to have a conversation with some of the clerks that aren't in office anymore about this, but we'll keep working on it. Hang in there. All right, our last bill looks like CS for HB 729, lethality assessments by Representative Baker. Good morning and welcome. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Bartleman is also here with me as a prime co. Thank you for the opportunity to present this bill. This bill would bring the lethality assessment program to Florida. In these programs, law enforcement officers are trained in the use of the evidence-based lethality assessment instrument to easily and effectively identify victims of intimate partner violence who are in the highest risk of being killed or seriously injured by their intimate partner. In other states, once a high-danger victim has been identified, they would be connected via hotline call to a domestic violence shelter for emergency safety planning, and that's key to its effectiveness. So what we're doing in HB 729 is we're going to require law enforcement officers who investigate alleged instances of domestic violence to administer the lethality assessment, and if found at risk, the victim would be referred to the nearest local domestic violence shelter, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I do see one amendment. Amendment 1 by Representative Baker, barcode 170195. And Representative Baker, you're recognized to explain this amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment authorizes an appropriation to provide one FTE and associated technology resource needs related to the training and education requirements of the bill, and that is the amendment.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, do we have any questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? No questions? Public testimony on the amendment? Okay, no public testimony. We're now on debate on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. No debate. Okay, all in favor of the amendment say yay.
Yay.
Yay. All opposed say nay. Show it as adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended. Any members with questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, public testimony. We've got Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. Now in debate. Debate on the bill as amended. Seeing none, Representative Baker, you're recognized to close on CS for HB 729.
Thank you, and I'm going to let Representative Bartleman close on the bill.
You are recognized, Representative Bartleman. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Thousands of domestic violence cases go unreported each year. As many victims are paralyzed with fear, so it is imperative that when they do get to call 911 and when a case is reported, that we give law enforcement officers the tools needed to protect victims. This is legislation is a lifeline to victims in peril, and we would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll for CS on HB 729.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Duggan? Fabricio? Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jacques?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Saroy? Snyder?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Show the bill as amended. Reported favorably. All right, members, this concludes our agenda. Thank you for the debate today. Thank you for our staff for keeping me on the right path. And see no further business, Representative Renando moves that we rise. We are adjourned.